This is a story about our town. The story begins at Christmas time. But of course, you probably knew that, this being Christmas time and all. You probably know the story too, being as there are only so many Christmas stories to go around. There's the Rudolphs and the Frosties, and then there's the story of the baby Jesus, of course, but this is that other kind of story, the Ebenezer Scrooge kind. But it isn't a Christmas carol. No, this is a story that takes place right here in the little town of Icebox, Minnesota. Winter comes hard to this part of the world. Some years it gets a 2-month head start on Christmas. But people learn to depend on each other up here. We're miles away from any other towns, miles away from Target and Best Buy and the malls. So you get to know your neighbor here.
Morning, George.
Morning, Mrs. Gunderson.
Take that man there, George Bjornson. When he graduated from Icebox High back in the day, he was the smartest one of the bunch.
Opening up the building alone early, I see.
Yeah.
Couldn't wait to get out of town when he was young. College in the East, maybe a summer traveling Europe. Then he was going to head out to California and find the next big thing in Silicon Valley. And then George Bjornson was gonna be rich.
Opening up the building alone early every day.
But I bet you already know what happened. George's father ran a small loan company, helping people build cabins and hunting shacks and such. His father had been running it for years, and it put food on the table, mostly. But there was never a lot left over. Right after George went off to school...
You just can't make it right now, George, with Mother's surgery, and I'm not getting any younger.
But I've only been in school a year, Dad.
I know, but if you could just come home for a year, I know we can get back on our feet by then.
But of course, it wasn't a year. It was 3, and then another 3, and then...
I'm sorry, George, but Mother would do so much better down in Arizona.
It's all right, Dad. You two go ahead. You've earned it.
You can do whatever you want with the business, George. It's yours now. Sell it if you like. Invest in that company you were looking at.
Yeah, maybe I'll do that.
But of course he didn't, because by that time things had changed. The new librarian had come to town.
Mr. Bjornson, you have $7 in late fees.
Really? That's terrible.
I can waive them this time, but...
Oh, no, don't do that. I wouldn't want you to be an accessory after the fact.
Well, there's no reason to make fun of me. They're just library books, but you really need to get them back in on time. This title here has 4 people on the wait list.
4 people, huh? Well, I'll have to make it up to them somehow. And to you, too.
Make it up to me?
Yes. How about dinner?
Dinner?
Well, yeah, what do you say? There's a new Mexican place in town.
Well, what about the other 4 people?
They can come for flan and coffee.
So, George and Mary went out for dinner, and by and by... followed fairly closely by... which, as you can imagine, turned into... which, more or less, brings us up to the present. The kids have grown, of course. 3 boys and a girl. The oldest about 12 now. The boys all play hockey, which is expensive. And the daughter is a figure skater, which makes hockey look cheap. So George goes to the building and loan every day, early.
I gotta fix this place up somehow. No sense in locking the door if you can kick it in.
About that building and loan, George's father started the business back when some of the first really big lake homes started going up. He figured if normal people didn't have a way to finance their cabins and shacks, pretty soon all the shore and good hunting land would be snatched up by folks from out of town, even out of state. Of course, times were better then. There was money in the town to buy things like hunting shacks and lake homes. Now things are different.
Bjornson, are you in there?
I'm right here, Mrs. Potter.
Well, maybe I'll just let the two of them tell this part of the story. I bet you can figure out who's in there with George now.
So, Mrs. Potter, to what do I owe the honor?
Don't be flippant, boy.
Yeah, you're right. I'm sorry, Mrs. Potter. I'm in a bad mood. What can I do for you?
I came by to see if you've thought about my offer.
Yeah, I've been thinking about it.
Good, good. And you're ready to do the sensible thing?
Well, I talked it over with Mary, and that is to say, well, it's a very generous offer.
Generous? It's an understatement. The oil fields of North Dakota are the only growth industry in this wretched economy, and I want to put you in charge of mine starting at $85,000 a year. What is there to think about?
Just the family business.
What family? Your folks took off for Arizona years ago. And didn't your father tell you you could sell if you wanted to?
Yes.
Besides, the Bjornsson building and loan can easily be folded into my holdings. I'll give you better than fair market value for it.
So you'd keep it open?
What do you care? You'll get a fair price and a new life out in God's country. I know your wife has been bugging you for that new kitchen.
Well, how would you know?
My manager down at Potter Hardware said she's been in mooning over the kitchen designs. Apparently, she's fond of chrome.
She is? Well, she doesn't bug me about it.
Of course. But you'd love to give her a new kitchen, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
And the boys, they probably need new skates every year.
Well, we try to get by with just one new pair per year and then hand them down.
And your girl and her skating? None of it's cheap, George.
Yeah, it still wouldn't be cheap in North Dakota, either.
No, but there'd be more money. Come on, George. All you've ever wanted was to get out and see the world. Here's your chance.
Well, ma'am, when I dreamed of seeing the world, the oil fields in North Dakota weren't really on my list.
Oh, confound it, George. You're the most stubborn boy I've ever met. Why don't you just do the smart thing for once in your life?
Well, now that's a little harsh.
It's that rabble that comes through your door every week, isn't it?
I'm not quite sure what you mean by rabble.
Rabble! Rabble!
What, you mean Grimace from the McDonald's commercials?
No. What? No! I'm talking about that bunch of lazy old mill hands who always want a better piece of land or a better boat.
No, you hold on there.
You know what the problem with this country is, George? The working class treats a lake home like it's a right and not a privilege. There was a time in this country when you had to build yourself up to have some of these things. You had to be somebody. Only the best people lived out on the lake.
Well, I'm sorry, Mrs. Potter, but I feel the best people still do live out on the lake. And folks can't save enough now to have some of these things, not if they have both kids in school or parents who need them. This building and loan helps people get a little slice of paradise while they can still enjoy it. And all the mansions you're building out on the lake, well, you know, they need me if they're going to afford so much as a rowboat.
That's as it should be. The poor in town, the rich in the country.
Well, you're entitled to your opinion.
Oh, George, don't you see? I'm offering you a chance to be rich. Work for me for 10, 15 years, and you can retire early. You could build a mansion on the shore. You'd be one of the good people.
I'm sorry, ma'am, but my answer is no.
Why are you so stubborn?
Because people depend on me.
Well, that was George. Of course, it wasn't really all bad. He wasn't in the business by himself. Uncle Willie, his father's original partner, was still around.
I tell you, George, it's the latest thing. Cell phones for dogs. They fit right on the collar.
Of course, Uncle Willie was what you might call eccentric.
All I need is just one more payoff on this investment unless, well, you wouldn't happen to have any spare cash, would you, George?
Oh, gee, I'd like to, Uncle Willie, but winter's coming on and the furnace is making that noise again.
Yeah, it's all right, my boy. Don't worry about it. You have your family to think of. Maybe just 200?
Well, I suppose I could.
Oh, thank you so much, my boy. You won't regret it. I'll make you majority stockholder.
You mean you own this company?
I will. Now, if I could just find that fellow's phone number.
That was Uncle Willie. Always a scheme cooking. In a way, he was the most important part of our story because he made the whole thing happen. It happened like this. One afternoon, just a few days before Christmas, Willie came driving into town from the lake in his old pickup truck. The back was loaded down with coolers. For a change, one of Willie's schemes had come through and he was feeling fine. He had just one thing to take care of at the bank before he went to tell George.
I would like to cash this check for $25, please.
Very good, sir.
Say, where's that sour old boss of yours? I'd like to say hello.
I'm sorry, Mrs. Potter is in conference, sir.
In conference? Probably back there counting foreclosure notices if I know her. Wait, I hear her wheelchair now.
Hello, William.
Mrs. Potter, how are you this fine day?
Been drinking again, I see.
No, as a matter of fact, but I have every intention of celebrating just as soon as I finish my errand, and this fine young man here gives me my cash.
Really? Well, that isn't much of a surprise.
Oh, you think I'm just going to get a snootful, don't you? No, no, no. This is a real celebration. Do you see that truck out there?
What is that abomination doing parked in front of my bank?
It's making me rich, is what it's doing. You see what's in the back?
Garbage.
Ah, to the naked eye, perhaps. But what that garbage contains is row upon row of the most beautiful walleye fillets you've ever seen in your life. Hundreds of them, fresh as you can get. They were all swimming this morning.
So it's fish for dinner for the next month. Bully for you.
Oh, no, no, no. You don't understand, Mrs. Potter. I have an associate willing to pay top dollar for that load. There's nearly $10,000 worth of fish in my pickup, and all I had to do was pay Pig Eye Johnson $3,000 to get them.
Wait a minute. Aren't there laws against possession of that many walleye fillets?
Oh, well, I didn't actually fish for them myself, and old Pig Eye caught a lot of them standing on his own dock, on his own property. Those don't count.
I see. Where did you get the $3,000, by the way?
From the old building and loans account right here.
And your nephew George agreed to this?
Oh, George, well, he's not the one who usually invests on behalf of the company.
I see.
And like I said, we're going to triple our investment, so no reason to tell George about any of this.
Willie, I believe I underestimated you.
You did?
Well, this fish caper of yours is quite an achievement. I'm impressed.
Well, I wouldn't be. It's not exactly legal.
Well, that's what impresses me. What would you say if you and I stepped next door and had a drink?
I'm going to do just that, Mrs. Potter, once I make this delivery.
Oh, pish posh. I imagine you have plenty of ice in there. The fish aren't going anyplace.
Well, no, but I really think I
should... And I'm buying.
Mrs. Potter, I've always said you are the very soul of generosity, and I would be remiss to pass up even one moment in your company.
Run along now, Willie. Order me a nice glass of port, or whatever passes for it, and I'll be there shortly.
Task to my liking, madam. I don't mind saying so. Away, away to the cups, dear friends.
You there.
Yes, Mrs. Potter.
Did you give that man his $25?
Of course.
What's this envelope there on the counter?
He must have forgotten it.
Of course. And if I don't miss my guess... These are his car keys underneath it. I'm going next door to have a drink with that fool. You see these keys?
Yes, ma'am.
Wait about 20 minutes. He'll have a snootful by then go take that pickup and drive it around back to my private garage. Make sure the door's closed so no one can see. Do you have any problem with that?
No, ma'am.
Can you believe a person would do such a thing? And at Christmas time yet. But that's what happened. Mrs. Potter and Uncle Willie were there in the bar for about an hour, and when he came out to find his truck missing, he did everything he could to find it, but it was all for naught. So Uncle Willie went to the only place he could think of for help, George's house. But George did not handle it well.
George, come back!
Uncle Willie.
What's wrong with him, Mary? He's just marching away like that. Is he mad?
Well, maybe a little.
Oh, I'll make good on the money. I said I will.
I know. Come inside, Uncle Willie.
I said I'll make good on it, and I will. You think I won't, but I will.
Of course, Uncle Willie. Just come inside now, please.
Willie was right about one thing. George was mad. Furious, even. Here he had put all this time and effort into the business, into the town, and what did he have to show for it? What Willie didn't know is that the $3,000 he was going to lose on this fish caper was the last $3,000 the building and loan had. They were broke. Couldn't even pay next month's rent, which, incidentally, was owed to Mrs. Potter. And for George, all of this was pushing him just about to his limit. It had been snowing pretty hard for quite a while by then. George walked around town, down one street and up another. He even went out to the lake and looked at some of the beautiful houses Mrs. Potter's customers had built and thought about the offer she'd made. Eventually, he found himself on the dock by the shore, just down from a little tavern where some people were toasting the holidays and others just drowning their sorrows. That, incidentally, is just about the point where I come in. I found George sitting on the dock.
Psst, stupid, ridiculous old man.
Muttering to himself.
$3,000 for fish. For fish! Unbelievable! Oh, this just about does it. This about does it once and for all. I don't need to stick around this godforsaken town and keep taking this. That's it. We're going. And I'm never looking back.
Hard to do that.
Whoa. You startled me.
Oh, sorry. This seat taken?
It's a public dock.
Thank you. So, what are we doing?
I'm just out for a walk.
Nice night for it. Snow will stop soon and a little bit of a moon will come out.
Maybe.
Nothing like the moon on the lake in wintertime.
I've seen it enough to last me a lifetime. I've seen more of this town than I care to remember.
Well, you say that now.
I mean, what's the sense of staying here when it's just one thing after another? There are other places, aren't there? I mean, people move.
They do.
And you know what else? I'll tell you. Mrs. Potter is right.
She is?
Yep. There's no law that says everyone deserves a cabin. You gotta earn these things.
I suppose.
My dad ran the building alone for years, and he helped people buy all kinds of things for themselves, and what did it get him?
The house in Arizona?
It's a trailer, and they've got ants.
Oh.
Say, how did you know about my dad?
Oh, I know a lot of things about you, George.
How did you know my name was George? I didn't tell you. I don't think I've seen you around town before.
Oh, you wouldn't have seen me, but I was here. I know everything there is to know about you. I know, for example, that you are just about at the end of your rope.
I could have told you that.
No, I don't think you could have.
What?
Look, George, you've been moping around here for months, trying to decide whether or not you should just give up and move, right?
How do you know that?
Never mind how I know. I'm right, aren't I?
Well, okay, let's say you're right. So what?
So what? So you're going to do it this time. You're not just talking. I know for a fact that if you get up off this dock without reconsidering, you're going to leave this town and never come back. In a couple of months, it will be like you never even were here.
What's the big deal? So I was never here. So what? Things are going to go on just the way they always have. Nothing's going to change. Potter will still own everything. People will still want to get out and enjoy the lake and the woods and let them go to her to finance it all.
And you think she'll give them a fair rate?
What do I care if she does or not? Nothing around here really changes. It's just the same year after year.
So you think your being here made no difference, eh?
I just said that, didn't I?
You just don't understand how many lives you've changed, George. You can't see what an impact you've had.
Yeah, well, what did it ever get me? Maybe I should go have an impact in North Dakota for a while.
It won't be the same. They only have about a dozen trees in the whole state, you know. And don't forget, you'll be working for Mrs. Potter.
Nah, that doesn't matter. Much.
Come on, get up.
What? Where are we going?
We're going to go around town, George.
Eh, you go. I've seen it.
No, I really don't think you have.
Hey, what happened to Woody's? It's all dark.
Come and see.
Well, that's the craziest thing. They were open just a minute ago.
That's not what the sign in the window says. It says for sale, and it's dark. There's no bottles behind the bar either.
Oh, when did they decide to pull out?
Oh, about 3 years ago.
What? No, that's crazy. They were open just tonight. I was thinking about grabbing a drink myself.
Woody put up that sign and headed south 3 years ago. Still living in a little apartment, hoping someone will buy this place so he can move on.
Well, that's the craziest thing I've ever heard.
Well, keep walking, George. There's a whole main street for you to see.
No, I gotta get home. I need to sort out this mess with Uncle Willie.
Main Street is right on the way. Come on.
Well, that's funny.
What, Wilson's Hardware?
Yeah, Pete told me he was going to stay open late until Christmas, and this place looks like it's boarded up.
No, he's still open. 4 days a week, anyway. The boards are because he had some windows broke during the burglary last month.
What burglary? We haven't had a burglary in Icebox for 4 years, and that was just some kids breaking into garages.
Whatever you say, George.
I remember one of them was that Kyle boy. I used to coach him in Pee Wee's. He was a pretty good goalie then. Mr. March was hard to defend him, and he asked me to speak on his behalf, and I gave an affidavit and everything.
No, you didn't, George. Those burglaries went unsolved. Budget cuts at the police department. They didn't think they were important enough to investigate.
No, they were solved. They caught Kyle and two other boys, and, you know, Kyle admitted everything, and they gave him leniency.
No, they didn't, George.
What are you talking about?
He didn't need leniency because he didn't get caught. That time.
Well, that's not right. Kyle got himself squared around after that. He's in technical college down in Hibbing, I think.
That young man is in Stillwater Penitentiary, doing 10 years for armed robbery. You were never there to help that boy, George. So for him, things turned out a lot different.
I wasn't... What are you saying?
You weren't there to help him.
No, of course I was. I went to Mr. March's office and... Look, it's right here, up on the top floor of that... What the...
The building where Lawyer Marsh had his office burned down a year ago.
No, I was just there. I brought him some papers last week.
The building was empty, George. William Marsh never came to town because there was no work for lawyers here. Sad thing about that building. The owner tried to burn it down for the insurance, but they caught him. He's in prison, too.
What did you say your name was?
Clarice Oddbody, A.S.C.
Clarice Odd... Sure it is.
You don't believe me?
Probably. Maybe. I don't know. I don't care. I don't care about you or anyone else in this town. It's the oil fields for me.
That's so.
Yeah.
My, this isn't going as easily as it did that other time.
What?
Never mind. George, look around this town. Don't you see how different it is?
I don't have time. I have to go tell my wife. We're headed for the prairie.
Your wife's not there, George.
What did you say?
I said your wife's not there. She's not at home.
All right, you know what? This isn't funny. This isn't funny anymore. Whoever you are, I'm going home.
You have no home. You have no life.
Whatever.
Look around you. Main Street is dark. Buildings that should be there are gone. The whole town has changed. Here, look at this.
The gate to the mill is locked. Well, so what?
So did you ever see these no trespassing signs? Did you ever see the mill that dark? Nothing coming out of the smokestacks at all? It's not locked, George. It's shuttered. The mill went under 5 years ago.
What?
The men who kept this mill going, second, third generation, some of them, they moved out one by one. And do you know why?
You're lying.
They moved out because they could find something better somewhere else. Another mill in another town where they could afford nice things for their families. They moved on because all the best land here was being bought up. They didn't want to do it, George. It wouldn't have taken much for them to stay. Just someone to help them.
You're saying I didn't help them?
I'm saying you weren't here to help them. And because you weren't here, they aren't either.
No.
No?
No, none of it happened.
Look with your own eyes, George.
I am looking, and none of it makes any sense. I'm going to turn around and head back to my house so I can give my wife the good news.
Well, you can head back to your house, but I don't think you'll like what you find.
Don't worry about that. Just don't follow me, understand? Leave me alone.
Well, that's hardly the Christmas spirit, George.
Just don't follow me.
And of course, I didn't. George looked plenty mad, and I knew where he was going anyway.
Mary! Mary, where are you?
He went down to the small house on Sycamore Street, where he and Mary and the kids had lived for years. Only there was a foreclosure notice on the door, and all the windows were boarded up.
Mary! What's happened? Where are you?
She's not here, George.
Keep away from me, Clarice. I told you not to follow me.
Do you understand what I'm trying to tell you?
Yeah, I get it. This is what the world would be like without me, is it? But this isn't the movies. This isn't the way life really works.
Isn't it? One man's life really does touch all the others around him, George. That might seem sappy to you, but it doesn't make it any less true.
Well, I don't believe it.
Look with your own eyes.
I won't. I don't need to. I know what's happening. I know what's going on. This town is dying, and I'm getting my family out while the getting's good.
This town isn't dying. It's already dead. It's dead because you weren't here to keep it alive.
That's crazy.
Is it?
All I did was run a little business.
Well, from where I sit, George, that little business made a big difference.
Mary, I gotta talk to Mary. She's still here, isn't she?
Yes. She's working late at the library again. She has to clean it herself now since the...
Yeah, but budget cuts, I know.
So he ran off in the snow toward the library. I guess I should have warned him about what he'd find there, but I couldn't quite bring myself to. You see, there was an old pickup truck parked in front of the building. One tire was flat. Cardboard covered most of the windows. As George ran up, an old man, the dim light of senility just beginning to fog his eyes, got out of the truck and stumbled over to the public garbage can to throw away a bag of trash. When he saw him, George stopped dead in his tracks, his breath caught in his throat.
Uncle Willie?
No, just taking care of a few things. No, nothing here. Mind my own business.
Uncle Willie, don't you know me?
I don't have any money. Go rob someone else.
Uncle Willie! Willie! Look at me!
Hey, let go of my coat!
Now look at me! Don't you know me?
Stop shaking me like that. I don't know anyone.
Hey, stop that. Let go of him.
Mary!
Let him go or I'll call the police.
Mary, don't you know me?
William, are you all right?
I'm fine, Mrs. Lewis. I'm fine. They won't get to me.
Why don't you go wait in your truck, William?
Yes. I'll wait in the truck.
All right, which is it this time?
Mary, do you really not know me?
Citizens for a Better Icebox, the Police Support Guild, or are you just one of Potter's hired goons?
What?
I've told her before, and I'll tell you. This is public property. He's not harming anyone by parking his truck here, and as long as I'm library director, he'll be able to.
He's crazy, isn't he?
Well, he's fine when he can get his meds. Otherwise, he has good days and bad days, but he's completely harmless.
But didn't he have a brother? Ran a building and loan downtown?
I've been in town 10 years, and I don't remember anything like that.
No, I don't suppose you would.
Now, if you'll excuse me, I have to lock up. The library opens at 10 tomorrow morning.
You just let him park there, even though he's obviously living in his truck?
Yes.
Why do you do it?
Because where else does he have to go? Where else do any of them have to go? It's been years since I've seen anyone in this town help anyone else. The least I can do is give them a warm place to come inside and read a magazine. And they're not even new magazines anymore.
I know, but why do you do it? You're young. You could move and go get a job in some other town.
But here I make a difference. Now, if you'll excuse me.
Is it just me, or is she still the prettiest woman in town? Even with all this trouble, there's a glow about her.
Yeah, but what about him?
Who, Willie? What about him?
What happens to him?
Well, George, he doesn't have much longer. You can't sleep out in a pickup truck all winter and expect to be healthy.
And the two of them really don't know each other.
Why would they? Willie never had a nephew, and Mary never had a husband. They're just two souls that pass by in this life. She's extending a kindness to him because that's the kind of person she is.
I don't understand.
What's to understand? You had a wonderful life, George. You helped a lot of people. This whole town hinged on things you did, things other people did too. It all works together, or it doesn't work at all.
What doesn't work?
Life.
So that's it?
What's it?
I go back now?
Well, don't look so happy about it.
No, it's just everyone knows the story. We all know how it comes out. The man sees how important he is and becomes grateful for everything he had. But I was always grateful, Clarice. I love my wife. I love my kids. I want to give them everything they want, even the stuff they probably shouldn't have. And I'm normal that way. But seeing I was holding this town together, that doesn't help me any. And in some ways, that's my worst fear.
George, it sounds to me like you want to ask me a question, but you're afraid it's the wrong question to ask.
What question?
What's in it for you?
Well, I suppose I could be that shallow.
I made a mistake, George. I showed you a world without George Bjornsson. What I should have showed you was this.
George!
Is that Mary?
It is. She's looking for you, and that's not all.
George! Where are you?
George, please just talk to us.
And they're not the only ones.
George!
Who are all these people?
The word went around town that George was in trouble. They came out of the woodwork, all the people that you've helped over the years.
George! Say, George, are you there?
George!
George!
George, please.
George, please. I'm so sorry.
I'm sorry, George.
We're sorry, George.
George, what's going on, Clarissa? I don't understand.
You will, right about now.
George?
Clarice! Clarice, where did you go?
George, thank goodness we found you.
Did you see an old woman standing right about here when you ran up?
George, it's a miracle.
I know. Everyone's sorry. I heard them.
It's not just that. Word went around about Uncle Willie and the fish, and you wouldn't believe it.
Yeah, they gave us back all the money we lost.
How did you know?
I saw it in a movie once.
George! George, there you are. Thank goodness. I'm so sorry, George.
Yeah, I know, Uncle Willie. It's all right.
No, it's not all right, George. I was a fool trusting that woman.
What woman?
Bjornsson. Oh, there you are, boy, wandering out in the snow. Are you an idiot?
You have a lot of nerve coming out here looking for him.
You're drunk.
Yes, and you made sure of that, didn't you?
What?
I did nothing of the kind. Now, George, have you told your family yet?
Told us what?
Just a second, hon. Uncle Willie, what exactly did happen right before you lost your pickup?
I stepped over to the lodge to have a drink with Mrs. Potter, and when I got out of there, my truck was mysteriously missing.
Really?
Oh, none of that matters now, George. I took the liberty of bringing the contracts along.
What contracts?
It's that job managing Mrs. Potter's oil fields in North Dakota.
You're taking it?
I was out here all night thinking it over. It would be more money, a new life.
Are you really considering it, George?
Just a minute. Mary, I heard people shouting for me. What was that all about?
When word got around about Uncle Willie...
I did that, George. I called around and told them.
People started coming to the house. Some actually came with walleye fillets they had in their freezer, but most just came with cash. They realized how hard it's been for us. All these years, your family has been helping them, and they wanted to help you. A lot of them called it a Christmas present.
And a long overdue one, if you ask me.
Nobody did. It's very touching. But you still have to face facts, George. The building and loan can only earn so much. Work for me and your family will be secure.
Work for you? I have no intention of working for you, Mrs. Potter.
Why on earth not?
I'd never work for someone headed for jail for grand theft pickup.
Grand theft? Oh, that's ridiculous. He left the keys right there on the counter, I assume.
Here's what you're going to do, Mrs. Potter. You're going to go get Uncle Willie's truck and park it in front of the bank right where he left it.
Why? I wouldn't know where to find it.
Or else
it.
I'm going to have to go ask a few cops I know if they have probable cause to search your premises.
Oh, they'll never get a warrant.
Are you willing to take that chance?
Are you willing to pass up my offer? Money? Security for years to come?
Your contract, Mrs. Potter.
Fine. Just fine. Sure, you got a few tokens from these people today, but what about tomorrow or next year?
They'll come to us. They'll come for all kinds of things. You're done in town, Mrs. Potter. When people find out what you tried to do, they'll never come in your bank again. They'll come to us. Because above all else, Mrs. Potter, people in Icebox are loyal.
And just how many hunting shacks do you think they'll be building with their loyalty this year, George?
It won't just be hunting shacks anymore, Mrs. Potter. Uncle Willie?
Yes, George?
We're expanding. We're going to offer all kinds of loans now. Help people repair and rebuild. And I bet a lot of businesses in town could use updates. Now, I bet a lot of folks who couldn't afford a house could get one of these smaller ones in town if they just had a little help. And I bet we could take some of these Christmas gifts from today and invest in a few places. We'll turn it around. We'll turn it around because we'll do it together.
That's about it. Mrs. Potter denied any wrongdoing to her dying day, but Uncle Willie's truck reappeared in the very spot he left it that afternoon. Uncle Willie retired on the money that fish caper brought in and moved down to Arizona. And as for George and Mary, well, they did just fine. Some years they had to be creative, some years they had to be tough, but they always had enough, and they always got to stay right in the place they wanted to be. And everyone knew. But if you needed help, if you needed a hand, George was the man to see. And that's about as happy an ending as I can think of.
It's a Borderland Life, a holiday greeting from the Icebox Radio Theater. Your cast this evening featured, in order of appearance, Taryn Schickel as Clarice, Jim Yunt as George, Vicki Olson portrayed Mrs. Potter. Autumn Silvers played Mary. And Steve Wendels played Uncle Willie. The script was written by Jeffrey Adams, who also did editing and post-production. Sound effects were realized by Dave Irwin. This program, copyright 2014 by the Icebox Radio Theater, all rights reserved. On the web at iceboxradio.org. And now, from all of us here, may we wish you a very happy holidays from snowy International Falls, Minnesota. Merry Christmas, everyone. It can be in the sound of the orchestra preparing, or in the sound of a sculptor working in stone, or even in the sound of laughter from inside a theater. It is the sound of art being created, and for over three decades, the sound of art being created has rung loud and clear in northeastern Minnesota. The Arrowhead Regional Arts Council has been encouraging local arts development in northeastern Minnesota through grants and services for over 35 years. Every year, they give out more than $500,000 to local artists and arts organizations, and that helps create $40 million in revenue and jobs created. To find out more about our arts programs or how you can get involved, visit aracouncil.org. The Arrowhead Regional Arts Council, where the arts flourish, you thrive.